Simba
on Nova.
Mumford and Sons. What a band they are.
They'll take off one day.
Luckily enough, I got to get tickets and go see them live. They are one of the best in the world. Do you know what? And we had such a good chat. You actually performed with Marcus Mumford.
He wanted to sing.
But we had such a great time with Marcus. He stuck around afterwards at a couple of darts out on the balcony. Really
he
lovely guy.
He told us about
guy.
When he originally did Don't Think Twice and they filmed it. And he said, I don't actually remember that. There was a bit of a party backstage.
Yeah.
Things were firing
at
that
a few
stage.
Drinks beforehand. Anyway, I didn't know this, but when we rocked up, they said, can you get to the show a little bit earlier? Because what the band do, they like to come down and say thank you to everyone for supporting them.
Great.
And they come down for a bit of dinner and have a couple of drinks before they actually go on stage.
How good's that?
7 o'clock's there and we're waiting there and the band comes in. And, you know, you get a bit sort of nervous when the band walks into the room because you look up to them as well and... Great performers, and I was speaking to Winston, one of the band members, and Ben, and then all of a sudden Marcus comes over and gives you a bit of a hug. And we're having a great chat, and he's having a couple of drinks beforehand, and he said, mate, thank you so much for the chat that you had with Whipper, and really, really enjoyed it, and we got along really well. And he sort of said to me afterwards, he said, stick around, we'll have a beer later on.
Great.
And I'm instantly going, this is amazing.
Do you reckon it was a token gesture, though? Is it like, hey, I'll see you later, stick around for a drink?
This is what I didn't know, Sarah. I didn't know, has he said that to other people as well? And we were ushered afterwards. One of their managers came down and said, guys, can you follow us? And we went down into this little room afterwards. And there was quite a few people there.
Yeah.
So then Marcus comes into the room and everyone's trying to chat to Marcus. And I'm thinking, oh, well, this is great. We got invited down into here and we're having a couple of drinks. He comes over, has another chat again, and then he leaves. And I thought, oh, well, I didn't get to say goodbye, but that was it.
That was it.
And I said to the lady, we might have a couple more drinks, but I said to the lady, where's the toilet? And I was about to go out to the toilet. And as I was going out, the manager was outside the door and grabs me and goes, Fitzy, Marcus wants you to go back to his room and have a beer with him now.
I wanted to get out
just
of
the
there.
Just the two of you.
And I'm like, so then I'm looking, like the door was ajar to the room and I'm looking in and there's my wife, BJ.
Oh, dear.
And this girl's looking at me going, no, just you.
Hang on a minute.
And I'm looking at BJ. I'm looking at the manager. I'm looking at BJ. And I looked at the manager and I said, let's do this.
Did you seriously?
But Sarah, I'm thinking
BJ's always going to be at
Marcus
home.
Mumford.
Yeah, but you've met him multiple times. There is going to be nothing new that you guys talk about that's going to change your life.
But
you're not going to start holidaying
together.
It's the
setting too. You're backstage.
Exactly.
He's invited you
like
personally.
Into his own room,
this
Sarah.
This is the woman you said yes to for life.
So, but Sarah, I was thinking in the back of my mind, I'm going, okay, I'll just have one beer and then I'll go back out to BJ.
You don't know yourself well enough
so
if that's what you thought.
I'm walking down there going, I'm just really happy with my decision. This is the best thing. I'm
backing in.
To have a beer with Marcus Mumford, just me and him. I walk in there and the manager goes, Marcus, here's Fitzy. He looks at me and goes, where's your wife, you idiot? Go and get your wife.
So he
and
thinks
did you
you're
say,
a dog too.
I deliberately dumped her because I thought you just wanted the two of us.
That's crazy.
Kiss me, you fool, Marcus.
It's time for Sarah the Awarer.
Where's Sarah?
It's melted cheese on bread. So true. It's my favourite cheese pizza. Thanks, guys. Claire has emailed the show. She's got a problem with a girlfriend. So I've been friends with this girl for 25 years, and over the past few years, I've seriously started to dislike her. Many reasons. She's quite selfish. She's rude. And I found we have little in common. I've tried distancing myself, declining invites, saying I'm busy, leaving long gaps between replies, but she's not taking the hint. She's even texting my husband when I don't reply. How do you break up with a friend?
Oh, that's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
25 years. A lot of history there.
It is.
And thanks for taking my email, Sarah.
I mean, I like how you used the name Claire.
Yeah,
so
I had to go under an alias just to talk about Whip.
I'm right here, guys. I can hear all of this.
It's a tough one, though. I mean, people come into your life. Mum always says to me, a season, a reason, or a lifetime. And maybe this one's just run its course.
A season, a reason, or a lifetime.
That's a great T-shirt.
Isn't it?
I mean, it's a lot to put on a T-shirt. But
a season. So, oh, my God, I met you over the summertime.
Yeah. Not quite.
A reason. Why are we stuck in this elevator together?
No, a reason. Like, to help you with something or to be part of something. Or a lifetime. Friends for life. This one is clearly... not a lifetime friend. I think you just say something to them. If they've been rude and selfish, call them on it.
You cut them off.
Yeah, but you've got to tell people.
BJ's got this problem with a school friend who treated her pretty bad back then. And now she's had a child and she wants to get back with BJ again. And it's on to her all the time. And it's a tough one because what do? Do you keep replying? Because once you start replying, the floodgates open. Or do you just let it go?
So what's she done?
Interesting this.
She's ignoring.
Oh,
I know, but how long can you do it for?
Just keep ignoring. Stuff it. Just ignore her.
Yeah.
You can't just roast a friend that you've been friends with for 25
years.
What's
interesting here says is that it's kind of gone from a lifetime under your mum's theory to a season. And not often you go from that lifetime to make the change back to the season.
I know.
And the only way it would come back would be in a reason. So that's what she needs to think about. Dr. What is the reason that I need this person in my life?
And
if not,
and that answer
turn
will
them back to seasonal.
That answer will last
a
lifetime.
I'm still trying to find the reason for the answer.
Another way is to fake your own death.
Yes.
You two are so unhelpful in this segment.
You're gone.
Claire, I've tried to take your problem seriously.
And I've told you about that too, how I reckon you need to leave some part of the body in a burnt house so that people go, they must have gone.
Oh. Yeah, but hang on, what do you leave?
You have to chop your finger off.
Vital clue in True Detective 3.
Okay, so she can blow up the house and leave a pinky on the front lawn as if to say the place blew up, the rest of the body went, but we found her pinky, so she must be gone.
It's expensive.
The old Christmas has given us a call. Carol, are you there?
Hi, Carol. Hi, guys.
You're beautiful,
that's not
Carol.
That's not a solution. No. But the same thing happened to me. I was friends with my ex-best friend for many, many years, 20-odd years. Circumstances happened, and I was more hurt that she didn't ask me as to why we split up. The reason why was because she had a wedding early hours of the morning, 8:30 in the morning, and I didn't attend. Wanted her to ask me as to why. Now, my suggestion to Claire is tell this girl straight up, we've grown apart. Our friendship isn't like it used to be.
Yep.
You're not the same person you were when we first met.
But this...
Be honest.
Carol,
hang on, why weren't you at the wedding?
Because it was 8:30 in the
morning,
and I had kids. No. I had the kids. I had to get them to school, and I explained it to her, and that wasn't good enough for her.
Don't go such a cheap option. 8:30 on a Monday morning, was it?
Yeah. Well, it's not a bad option.
Got to get the venue for $20.
Guys, 3 a.m. in the morning on a Tuesday, if you can make it.
See you there. Says that, you know what's interesting? I'm just trying to gather my thoughts here. With what Carol's saying is there's actually a reason, and I'm not playing on your mum's words, there's a reason to break up there, right?
Mm.
In the situation here with Claire, nothing's actually happened.
No.
It hasn't been an event to trigger it.
The other girl is treating her very badly.
Yeah, she said that she's selfish, rude, they don't have much in common anymore. These things just happen, they peter out. So but tell them, have the decency to tell them.
Well, Claire, if you want to get back in contact with us, we can tell you how you can fake your own death. There's ways
or,
to do it.
See, you know that app where the doctor says you've got an STI, and then it can message the people that you may have been in contact with. Have one of those for friends you want to burn.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. Yeah,
Claire no longer wants to be your friend. We're just letting you know.
We love this man. It is the magnificent Ray Marr.
You're far too kind. It's lovely to see you both, and happy new farm. Yeah.
You got everything under control, mate.
Old age is just a state of mind.
What are you doing with it? You're putting your phone on silent there, Ray. Have you worked out the technology on your phone yet? Can you take a selfie, Ray?
I'm sure I can. Look, I'm sure there are instructions somewhere. You can get an app for that.
There is an app.
Just quickly, there's a promo going around. Is that your ex-dead wife coming back, Martha, on one of the promos? I thought you got rid of her. What's going on there, Ray?
Oh, mate, it's a long story, but the shortened version is before we shot the pilot 31 years ago, Alf was a lonely widower. Martha had tragically drowned in a fast-flowing river.
Oh, God.
We had a funeral. We had the whole shooting match, and she was gone for all money. But it turns out that Martha was a lot better swimmer than we thought, and she's resurfaced 31 years later.
Wow! Been swimming all that time.
She has been swimming all that time. She could have won a gold medal at the Rome Olympics. Martha is played by the lovely Belinda Giblin, who has done more work than certainly any wharfies. She is a wonderful, wonderful person to work with and a wonderful actress, and it's great to have her back on the show.
What a tug on the old heartstrings.
And springs.
And springs.
Yeah.
whatever you've got in your heart is going to be tugged on about now.
How many times has Alf been married? How many times?
Well, Martha, of course, and then the lovely Judy Nunn, or Ailsa Hogan, yes, is her screen name.
God, he's had a few.
Yeah, no, but it's been a long time between drinks now.
Really?
He's way overdue.
Oh, he's ready to go.
I think Martha's back just in the nick of time.
Anything
or should that
could
be
have
the
happened.
Nicotine?
Anything could have happened.
Now, Ray, one thing that we haven't noticed when you come in here is you don't have any BO problems. You don't stink. You're a very hygienic
man.
Great. You're the Ray Mar aroma. We love it. We feel at home when you're in the studio. But you have brought out a fragrance, which this is unbelievable. You've got your own fragrance now, Ray.
Absolutely, mate. It's called Fragrance Number One.
Number one.
Fragrance
which
number one,
suggests
yes.
there's more coming.
Well, who knows, mate? But it's a very wonderful little number.
You've got some here, right?
Oh, I've got some right
here.
I'm about to spritz. You can have a bit of a go. Look, I mean, you know, when you think about it, George Clooney, Chris Hemsworth, Ray Maher, I mean, we've all got something in common, haven't we?
Rolls off the tongue.
Well, we're all men, I suppose. That's what we've got in common.
Jesus, it smells good.
What has it got in there? A bit of Old Spice? Bit of Brute 33, right?
Oh, no, we didn't mix with any other previously arranged or produced fragrances. This is right off the top shelf, mate. You know,
remixed,
brand new, absolutely fantastic. And look, it smells good.
It doesn't.
And there are many good things about it. One being, it's unisex.
Okay.
So if somebody in a room shouts, me too, that doesn't mean they're going to take you to court.
That means they
just want some fragrance, okay? Yeah.
Fitz, I've just gone to both sides of the cheek with the fragrance, and it actually smells like Ray Maher.
Go to fragrance.com.au. You can buy it for $15. All proceeds go to Cure Cancer. You're a legend. We love you, mate. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks.
If you're going to clap, you clap in time with Riddle Time.
Oh,
you
so
don't
sorry.
Try and ruin the segment and play last person clapping.
Did you say clap time?
Great news, we are streaming live on Instagram and also the Facebook page. So you'll be able to see my Tommy Tribute t-shirt as well.
Unauthorised, but you do look good in it.
Images of Thomas Bryan Ivy.
Tom, have you ever thought about getting a lawyer? You could sue for that.
Yes, it's all part of my big court case at the end of the year, guys.
And great content for on air as well.
Yeah, terrific.
Really good.
Tommy suing Whipper.
Yeah.
We could cross live to the courtroom.
Great.
Would we stream that as well, Cass, live from the courtroom?
DeGroote could do a headline off from the courtroom as well.
Great times. Here we go. First riddle. Play along. MDG, how are the numbers?
35
booming.
So far.
Booming.
35,000?
No, just the three. Up to 60, though. Double it. At this rate, it could be 100 soon.
Here we go. Rosie is suffering from a dangerous disease. Her family decides she should undergo an operation.
There's a cream for it.
You're right, mate.
Is this the first riddle or a personal story?
Are you doing a rave? Because I've got one. I don't have one room for one here.
Is Rosie's name Christine?
Hey, all.
Let's go.
Rosie is suffering from a dangerous disease. Her family decides she should undergo an operation, but Rosie is not told or consulted. The operation will be done by somebody who's never operated on a human before. Why isn't Rosie told?
She's a dog.
Sarah Ann McGilvray.
Is that right? I was taking the mickey.
No, the Christine joke was probably there. Well done, Sarah.
Thanks.
You were the winner from last week.
I'm always the winner.
Feedback, MDG?
Zero. Someone said, be nice. Could we make this segment nice for everyone? Because Whipper's lost weight.
No, he hasn't, though. Isn't that's just
that,
the camera angle.
I mean, my left breast, that's a terrible angle.
Casey underscore you. Whipper. Have you lost weight, question mark?
Yes, I have, Casey, and I love you. Here we go for the second riddle.
Good luck, chookers.
I'm a fruit. I'm tasty and provide lots of energy.
Hi, fruit.
You can also find me on a calendar.
Can I hear it again, please?
Date.
Oh.
Well done, Fitz.
Oh. Ryan James!
Yes!
Wow. Hasn't been approved, lad.
Oh, yeah.
Well, don't
the riddle of the night.
Don't make that bit the best part of the segment.
That is amazing.
Yeah, but without the segment, we wouldn't have the sting. So celebrate.
I love that.
Let's celebrate all of it together.
Play it louder next time.
Can we do a separate segment?
I have not
Riddle
finished.
Time stings.
Riddle stings. That's good.
Awesome. You're idiots.
Here we go for the third riddle. This is such a beauty. It's going to make you think. Can you name three consecutive days without using the words Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday or Sunday?
Today, tomorrow, the day after.
Today, tomorrow, the day after.
Yeah, that's three consecutive days.
Is that three consecutive words, the day after?
Okay.
Oh, Jim.
Oh, that's aggressive. Oh,
right. I just, if you're going to shoot,
tomorrow.
Ryan James!
Oh, come on. Come on, he stole it.
Yeah. He took the groots and polished it. Two to Fitzy, one to Sarah. Sarah's the winner.
We have the magnificent Julia Morris in the studio for Rub Up
of the Week.
Go!
I love it when you rap at a wild fire. Don't know how much that whip away. Ask him later on at the buffet.
Do not throw the papers around, please.
Okay.
We have a guest in here, Julia. Sarah's going to go first today. Are you okay with that?
I'm
Is that
so
right?
Okay with that.
Okay. Let's do this, Sarah. Let's take it away. Come on, sing our song.
Yo.
I do love this song.
It's McGillivray. Sarah Ann McGillivray.
Step up to the mark.
All right.
Hot mama.
Come on.
Julia Morris, welcome to the heat. Hotter than Chris with his shirt off, smell the defeat. He went to the jungle dressed in bling. A group of celebrities you were supposed to bring, but the message got lost along the way. Instead, we got Richard Reid and Jackie Lambie. Now you come back in a blaze of glory. Pity this show is going to ruin that story. Because we know Fitz and Whipper are fat and bald. That story has been told and told and told. But I doubt you know this about Michael Whipfley. Loved to hammer his sheets. Not like that, just with pee. Fitz spent holidays in a hospital gown with broken knees looking like a wobbly clown. We know his brain is always going berserk. And most of the office just thinks he's a jerk. But back to Whips and his first love, Melissa. Married at first sight, didn't know what hit her. He claims they only kissed in his free Range Rover. Let's hope for her sake he didn't throw the leg over.
Oh! It was not! It was not in the Range Rover!
I know, you only got that for free this year. Got it.
Well done, Sis.
Yeah, thanks,
all right,
guys.
Here we go.
I'm not sure I can wrap my face better. Around it. That's
you
the
can
problem.
Do it. You can
I
do
reckon
it.
Reckon you'll be all right.
Julia, bring it on.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
Not your first spinning viper, mate. Come on.
My name is Lady J, and I'm here to rap. If you want to compete, maybe grab a nap. You see, my words are my jam. It's a virtual smack, and my rhythm's all wiggity, 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 whack. It's like whack. And smack.
Whoa!
They rhyme.
Yeah, we got
it. It's the style. So, you make me battle Sarah, who's the essence of cool. Well, stand by, peeps, because you're about to get schooled. It's girl on girl, for all the right reasons. I'm about to prove that I can rap in all of the seasons, like winter.
Wow.
Oh, and spring. So, Sarah, my dear, you're hashtag blessed for having a child. But to say the fun is done is putting it mildly. Having one kid, you don't feel the effects. Having two is running a creche with your ex. It's like really bad. It's not good. There is nothing to look forward to.
Oh, God.
But anyway, that's okay. So, tell us what your birth plan is all about. Mine was get this mother baby out. Have you booked yourself into a birthing center where the brekkie is a pokeball with added placenta? Like, seriously, it's not tasty. With the crying and the pooing and the needing for kips, I'm not talking about the baby, I'm in Fitzy and Whips. You will miss this madness and up at dawn as you're chilling with your babies on the freshly cut lawn. We love you, Sarah, you are style and grace. We won't just miss your voce, but we'll miss your face. So hurry back from maternity leave, because when the boys are left alone, it makes the audience heave like heave. Like vomit. It's not good. So come back. So that's my rap. I hope I wasn't too mean. It's a new style of apple batting hitting the scene. It's old school, new school. It's back in the room. It's time for me to go drop the mic and boom.
Someone who needs a nap.
That is awesome. MDG. You need to make a decision.
It's not even a fair fight. Absolute carve up. Julia Morris!
Get it off your chest,
Kimberly.
Well done, done, lady.
You can podcast this show, but you would know interview anyway. But it has been turned into a podcast, and the man behind it is the magnificent Andrew Denton. Oh.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for that round of applause.
Can I, is the best thing about we love interviews so much, and the way that you tackle your guests on there as well.
With I don't literally tackle guests. No. I just want to point that out.
They're all welcomed
Sammy
on.
Sammy Burgess style coming in from the side.
I go high sometimes.
Do you, in the podcast, because I always love a good podcast and hearing them set up the interview at the start, do you actually reflect on the interview and do you get to say what you really think about that person?
Yes, sometimes, but also the beauty about a podcast, because I'm a big fan too, is I can actually tell the story behind the interview, because there's always strange moments and strange negotiations, and sometimes in an interview, there's I interviewed Daniel Johns last year, which was
fascinating,
an extraordinary conversation, and there was a bit where he was very anxious, and everybody watching was like, oh my God, and it was so quiet in the studio, I could actually hear the air conditioning, and I'm thinking, I wonder if Daniel can hear the air conditioning. God, I hope he's not getting freaked out. And then he said, I can hear that. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, no.
He's probably making a song out of it in his head. I think you even mentioned that. There's so much going on in that guy's head.
So that's the beauty about a podcast. I can sort of take you inside the stuff you never actually understand on television, because we edit it all and make it look really smooth and lovely and make me look tall and handsome.
Obviously, Daniel Johns is someone who you enjoyed interviewing. Yeah. Who would be one of the toughest, though, you've had to come across?
And again, an example of what a podcast can do. So interviewing Cher, who was my first interview last year, and first long-form interview I'd done for about a decade. And I was so looking forward to it. She's got a huge life. And I should start this by saying she was great, except it's in a hotel room. It wasn't a hotel room. We got a room. And so it's always a bit weird when it's in a hotel room. And in she walks with her entourage. Yeah. And I say, it's great to meet you. And she looks fantastic. I say, we got an hour. You know, we can really relax and enjoy this. And she just looks at me and says, an hour. Oh, that's my idea of a nightmare. And then she mutters to herself, I should have given away interviews a long time ago. I'm thinking, this is going to be a long
great
hour.
Start.
Yeah, great start.
Have you had many, like what happens with us? We've, especially, you know, when people like One Direction were touring, where you'd sit down for an interview and there's 100 eyes from the record label on you. And at times questions would be pulled and people would jump in and stop.
Yeah.
Has that happened?
Do you have to submit your questions to some, or you're very...
No, I don't. But I did have that happen once, and in the most extreme circumstances, interviewing President Clinton in London, flown halfway around the world, had been said we had half an hour, and he was just being moved literally from one room to the next, interview to interview. He was getting all these Monica Lewinsky questions, so he was really cranky. Yes. And I'm thinking, this is huge pressure, because half an hour...
You had about five of those.
That was it. No, I actually didn't. No. I didn't want to talk to him about Monica, but about 15 minutes in, I could see over his shoulder my producer and his person basically almost in a physical wrestle. I'm thinking, something's going on here. And then she steps in front of the camera, this person, and goes, that's it, time's up.
Yeah.
15 minutes. And I said, well, we were told we have half an hour. We're flying halfway around the world. I've got one more question.
Yeah.
And she looks at Clinton and he says, that's okay. So I asked my next five questions, and but it was that was a moment of extreme pressure, because we had nothing to bring back.
No.
We had a show to fill, and if we had 15 minutes, it would have been 15
minutes.
And
did he engage Bill Clinton?
No, he did, absolutely. In fact, by the end of it, he didn't want to wrap up, and his mind is getting really shitty, which was like, yes, Clinton Nazi, take that.
Oh, we got it.
Do you have full control over it, though, Andrew? Are there certain guests that say we want to see it before you're allowed to wear it?
No, sometimes we do get guests. I mean, like Chris Martin from Coldplay, who turned out to be great. His company, it's usually the people, not the person themselves, but the person's people. They said, you can't ask anything about Apple or about Gwyneth. This was way back.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, look, we're not going to make a welter of it, but we can't not. You know, it's his life.
It's his life.
But if he doesn't want to do the show, well, that's okay.
Yeah,
and in the end, they said yes. And I did ask a few questions. I asked him about Monica Lewinsky and what he thought he was doing.
This is why the podcast will be even better, Andrew, because this is the stuff that we'll get to see
exactly
behind the scenes.
Yeah.
We love your work, mate. Thank you very much for coming.
Guys, thanks.
Thanks,
much.
Andrew.
See ya.
We love him to death. Joel Creasy!
Oh, good morning. How's it going?
What was your performance? Did you do a performance in high school, Joel? Did you do a performance that you could maybe...
What sort of question is that? Did I do a performance in high school? Which one do you want me to name? Well, you know, I was the drama captain of my high school. You're shocked. I can hear your jaws hitting the floor. And in, get this. So drama captain, I was also the drama captain for 3 years.
Right.
Because no one wanted to take me on. Mm. So I had a quite, I was like, the, you know, I was like the Iron Lady of the drama department. Yeah. We went through 6 drama teachers while I was the drama captain because they all kept quitting.
You were
they
so good.
Me. Yeah.
You were just so elite.
Well, they'd rock up on the first day and I was already there. You know, I'd spent the summer there. And I'd be like, you know, each teacher would be like, hello, good morning, Renee. I can take it from here. Maybe you go get us some coffees. Anyway, grade 12, school production that you asked about, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh,
guess what role I was?
Oh,
were you Willy Wonka?
Oh, no, I wish.
You would have been a great Charlie.
Well, you'd think so. I was Charlie, understudy.
Oh!
There's only 3 shows. There's only 3 shows.
And the thing that you was, were drama captain for 3 years.
Did you ever... Did you ever think
that
about...
That was the teachers taking it out on me, making me the understudy. Did you ever... There was only 3 shows. He's not going to take the show off. I mean, he did, but he had a mysterious fall.
Big flight of stairs
with my foot.
Because that's... you know the story behind Tommy Ivey and the Best Dressed Award that he won. Tommy went along, and it was book day, wasn't it? And who did you go dressed as, mate?
I went as
Charlie
from Charlie. My favourite book, Charlie from Charlie and Chocolate Factory. However, Joel, I was a very overweight kid.
Very fat kid.
No. And so when I won,
yes,
they got me up on stage and the certificate said, congratulations, Augustus Gloom.
Oh!
How annoying is that?
Up the chocolate pot. Yeah. That sounds weird.
And that was...
I don't know why I said that.
First moment of true love.
I had to say chocolate waterfall. Chocolate waterfall is in the film.
Yeah, that's it. Now, can we talk about, is it true, there's a whisper going around that Darude is going to be performing at Eurovision, the man behind the song Sandstorm. Is that is that true?
Yes, I think he's. I think if my memory serves me correct, he's representing Finland.
Right.
Because the thing about Eurovision is you if you wanted to, we would never do that as a country, but if we wanted to and had the money, we could go, hey, Beyonce, do you want to represent us? They don't necessarily have to be from your country.
Mm-hmm.
San Marino, which has a population of like 4 people, often bring in an American to represent them because they're out of contestants. Everyone's done it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no more in the population.
No.
It's a great stage, though, because, you know, hundreds of millions of people watch Eurovision. It's great to get your song out there, so there'll be a lot of performers that want to get involved, Joel.
Oh, a lot of European countries just love it. So even if you don't make the top 10, you're still a superstar to them and you can just, you know, spend the next few years touring there. Maybe you'll be playing RSLs, but, you know, you still got
that's
work.
Fun. Also, you're back with Show Me the Movie on Channel 10 as well.
I am.
Brooke Satchwell is... We love Brooke. We've had her on the show plenty of times. She's got a mouth on her, that girl. You're very close to Brooke, aren't you?
Well, yeah, Brooke and I, you know, are pretty good mates and we've worked together for years. And then a few years back, she was doing the play That Goes Wrong.
Yes.
And I took my now boyfriend on our first date to see it because I was like, oh, this would be a good gauge to see what he laughs at. Turns out a lot of slapstick, so I don't know how I feel about that. And Brooke was in the show, and then afterwards I said, oh, babe, we're going to meet my friend Brooke for a drink after the show. And she came along, and in true Brooke Satchel actor style, just spoke at us for 2 hours.
Awesome.
But I really am so grateful because we were on a first date, so we had nothing to say to each other. We were so nervous. I've got to thank her for that.
And then there was a kiss at the end of the night.
Absolutely, me and Brooke.
Check this. Tim Whipper on Nova.